And it's 13 minutes after 9 o'clock, and we continue our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. And today, we've got three guests here in the studio. We've got Kate Jamison-Elward from Planned Parenthood. She's a health educator and also a coordinator for Spare Change. And we've got a couple of Spare Changers here. We've got Amethyst Shelton and Logan Lancaster. Thanks to all of you coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, indeed. I probably should turn your mics on. That'll make things easier.
Oh.
There we go.
Thanks.
All right. So thanks for coming in. And Kate, now you you started off as a Spare Changer when you were in high school, right?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Cool.
From 2003 to 2005, I was in the group. And it was a wonderful... It was a fairly life-changing experience for me. And though I didn't know I was going to end up in this position eventually, I think kind of the work that I did in Spare Change as a teen really prepped me for what I was interested in, and then eventually led me back to working here when I decided to move back to Humboldt.
Fantastic. Now, for those who aren't aware of Spare Change, first of all, it's been around for, you were saying, 20 years, right?
Yeah, it's going into its 20th year.
Wow.
Next year.
It is really something else. It is a wonderful thing. It happens at the area high schools, and it's basically, kids talking to other kids about sex, basically. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like removing taboos. And why don't you explain what it's about?
Sure thing. It is made up of high school students from all over Humboldt County. Today, this year, we have students from like Fortuna High to students from Arcata High and Six Rivers Charter School and kind of everywhere in between. And they actually do theater performances. That's one of the ways that we educate, is through theater performances, and that's usually to other high school students. They also do presentations in middle schools, and so that's kind of reaching the slightly younger peers.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they are trained as peer helpers, where they can do one-on-one kind of informal counseling, but mostly referrals to professional help to other youth who are in need and who kind of seek them out as known resources. And the other thing is that though Planned Parenthood obviously does a lot of reproductive sexual health care and a lot of prevention work in terms of unwanted pregnancies and STDs, Spare Change addresses those issues at its core, but then also addresses all these other issues that affect teen health and affect teen sexuality. So like mental health, suicide prevention, body image, eating disorders. What else?
Substance abuse.
Healthy relationships.
Yeah, that's actually a really big one that we always talk about, because young people's relationships, one in four adolescents is actually experiences dating violence.
Wow.
And so we talk about healthy relationships and what's the difference between an abusive or an unhealthy relationship and a healthy relationship and what that looks like. That's one of the major topics that we talk about in skits and in presentations in classrooms.
So how do the kids get trained? How does that work? If someone wants to become a Spare Changer, is there a program they need to go through?
Would you guys like to answer that?
Well, it starts out with sometime in the spring semester, there's tryouts, and during the tryouts, they basically test you for how well that you would mesh with the group and how interested you are, how dedicated you are, because you have to put in a lot of hours to do this. It's meeting every week for several months, so it's a lot of time, so you have to be dedicated. And then if you are accepted, then we have a camp that's 5 days long, and we do a lot of team building and start to educate, but mostly it's focusing on making sure that we are comfortable with each other, because you have to be comfortable with the other members of Spare Change in order to go up on stage and perform talking about these stigmaed topics in front of your peers and in front of your elders. You have to have a lot of trust in your fellow members. And then after that, for most of the fall semester, we have teachings, usually one or two every week, from people like the North Coast Rape Crisis and Alateen, which is a alcoholics family helping thing.
Yeah, and also Humble Domestic Violence Services. Oh my gosh, so many people actually. Yeah. A lot of different county education programs. So like
giving their input.
North Coast AIDS Project, and so we have like actually over 40 hours
wow.
of training.
That's fantastic.
In all of these different specialized topics, including specialized training in peer helping. And teaching and theater so that they can gain the skills that they need to actually relay all of this important information. So it's quite a lot of training.
Yeah, I know my my oldest son, Alexander, I was telling you off air, was when he was in Eureka High, he was in the theater program and singing and whatnot. And he was accepted into the Spirit Change and was going to do it, but he just had so many other commitments with all the other stuff. He couldn't do it. But I've known other people who have done Spirit Change, and it stays with them. There's something about doing that it definitely leaves a lasting impact on people's lives when they become a Spirit Changer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. For me personally, it was an experience of seeing that my purpose was outside of myself, was not just about cultivating myself, it was about helping other people. And that was my introduction into it. And that really set me on my path to becoming a social worker. So
fantastic. Now, the cool thing about Spirit Change is that, it's peer-to-peer. And there's, I think, anyone listening who is past 13 years, was there at one point, and remembers that there's just a whole bunch of misconceptions that just go running around, a lot of misinformation running around. My boyfriend's brother's best friend said that if you do this, you won't get pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of that, and, and I guess, why don't you explain it, how you guys dispel these myths and how you get your information out there, because there's skits and other stuff.
Yeah, we actually had two different skits last year that were mainly focused on debunking rumors, which was Sexual Mythbusters and the Pregnancy Game Show. And also, I have definitely had people come up to me after shows or after teachings and been like, look, I heard this from someone and I don't know what to think, and I can just sit down with them and be like, yeah, no, that's not true, or yeah, actually that is true, and here's the information that I have about why that is true.
Do people seem to get the information with these skits? Does it seem to get absorbed better than just being lectured to?
I think so. I think that there's definitely more that teens take in when it's something that is entertaining to them.
It's definitely easier to digest than a dry lecture by some teacher in their 40s who is 20 years removed from any problems that are going on with the teens.
Nothing's wrong with teachers in their 40s. I think too that the Spirit Change skits usually are a mixture of drama, like really intense drama, usually because they are written from personal experiences of people in the group or people that they know very well. And so they're really drawing from that real
right.
heartfelt experience. So some of them are very intense and dramatic. And then some of them are very humorous, and because we feel like that is one of the ways to get across this kind of information that otherwise maybe was tuned out in comprehensive sex ed classes, or maybe feels so awkward to talk about out loud if someone is not as accustomed to talking about sexual issues out loud, that maybe that humor is often a really good conduit for getting that information across. So that's our performances are usually or always a mix of the two.
Yeah, because you do deal with some pretty heavy duty topics, and I imagine that can get pretty dramatic. Does it? What's it when you're doing some kind of dramatic skit? What does that feel like?
I know that a lot of the time, because this is my second year in Spirit Change, so I was on last year as well. we would have to have, like, little group sessions in the back after a skit, and it was basically just, like, hugging it out and being like, you did so good up there, you know, it's okay, you have so much support backstage, like, just leave all of that emotion on the stage and just come back here and be in a really supportive group.
Because it's gotta feel kind of real.
Yeah, definitely. We had really, really intense skits. Like, last year we had a skit called Abuser that was, actually had a stage slap in it and a lot of yelling, and it was a very violent skit, and I know that I was a part of it for half the year, maybe, and it was something that was, like, left me in tears when I was leaving the stage, because it was just so intense, and there was so much raw emotion on stage.
Wow. That's something else. Yeah. So, you were mentioning that sometimes you've got folks who, you know, who talk to you afterwards. As a spare changer, do you sometimes get asked, either of you, questions, maybe when you're even not doing a skit, just sometimes, hey, by the way, I know that you're in spare change, I've got this question. Does it ever happen?
Definitely, all the time. Yeah. Like, in class, I was studying for history, and I had someone, like, tap on my shoulder, and I was like, yeah, and they're like, look, I wanted to get birth control, and I was wondering what information you had about the different types so that I could be a little bit more knowledgeable and not feel like I was completely out of the loop when I went in, and I was like, sure, and I, like, pulled out my brochure, and I'm like, here's all of the different kind of birth controls, and just gave them a little lesson on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that where people will be like, hey, where can I get condoms or birth control, and does Planned Parenthood offer it, and when are they open, when can I go in, a lot of that stuff. And then also, less often, but also pretty prominent, is people being like, hey, I'm having this problem, can I talk to you? Because you are, like, a safe person to talk to. You're an open ear that won't judge them for any problem that they're having, because you can relate to almost any problem.
Yeah.
Did you, yeah, I know that a lot of spare changers in the past and this year have had that experience of doing, you know, peer helping to different levels of intensity. Sometimes it's really light, kind of what Amethyst explained. And I know in the past there have been times when people have been approached with someone who is having suicidal ideation or is in a really dangerous relationship. And it's so, the fact that the spare changers all are trained to refer to professional help is really, really helpful, because, of course, though they have some specialized training, they're also teenagers themselves, and they haven't gone through a formal counseling training. So they aren't professionals themselves, but at the same time, they are also a bridge sometimes to services, and I've heard many stories in the past of spare changers being a bridge to those life-saving services sometimes.
That's fantastic. You know, one of the things that you said you talk about and deal with is body image, which is a really big issue, really, with all Americans, but yeah. Especially teens. I mean, this is something that, you know, this, you know, body dysmorphia is a big, big thing, especially, you know, with teens. How do you deal with that? How do you tackle that topic?
Okay. Well, I know that last year, and I'm just using those skits because I know that people have seen them, but last year we had a couple different skits that were on things like eating disorders, mm-hmm. which is tied into body dysmorphia and the like. And then we had one that was mirrors, which was two girls comparing themselves to each other and then coming to, like, the realization that they're both beautiful in their own unique way. And we have dealt with body image in our classroom teachings as well. So just, like, teaching middle schoolers that, like, there's stuff that they're going to go through and that they're not going to be completely confident in 100%, like, I don't know, out there as they would like to be when they get into high school, but that it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah. Have you guys dealt with, sexuality? Human sexuality is, much more complex than just kind of black and white. especially now, there seems to be there's much more openness mm-hmm. with regard to you know, different types of sexuality. Do you guys deal with that? Dealing with you know, like the LGBTQ community and everything else.
Yeah, we actually recently did a teaching at Eureka High, which was a lot of defining all of the letters in the LGBTQQIA, etc. anagram.
Yeah, we talked about that as a
alphabet soup.
A growing
yeah.
acronym.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we talked about how that stuff can be applied in leadership roles and how it's important to know that kind of stuff and how to deal with bullying that's given to people who identify as LGBT and so forth.
And we also have, we definitely have a lot of skits that deal with it. Things like what all the different kinds, well, not all of them, because there's quite a few.
Right.
But how to approach people and be like, what do you identify as? Because you can't just assume anything. And just mostly the removing the stigma of, like, it's not okay to talk about it. It's not okay to ask. Because even though it's getting more open now, there's still a lot of people that are really uncomfortable talking about sexuality and gender identity.
Especially in the, you know, in the teen community. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, and I don't know if it's still the case. I mean, just a few years ago, the term gay was used as a derogatory term in many high schools. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah, still is, but
much.
I think
that's so gay.
You know, it's like, yeah. That's definitely, we definitely address bullying quite a bit. And obviously bullying happens for other reasons as well, but LGBTQIA students or people who are perceived to be part of that group are really highly targeted and have a lot higher suicide rates that are directly linked to their experience in public schools. So that is definitely something that we address. We also simply address to gender roles, which no matter what someone's sexual, because we talk about the difference between sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and biological sex, which are all four different, completely different spectrums and parts of human sexuality. And yet sometimes they kind of get mushed together and people can have different combinations of all those things. And so when we talk about gender identity and our thinking critically about how our culture puts people in boxes, that really impacts everybody in our society. That impacts very rigid definitions of what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman impact everybody. So that one has, whether someone identifies with the LGBTQIA community or not, that one really is kind of like an underlying layer that we address. I think this year we're addressing that in a couple different skits. So we kind of covering the spectrum on that and making sure that everybody knows that they should feel accepted and have their rights respected.
One thing that that you mentioned, which kind of took me a little bit by surprise, was when you mentioned at the very beginning of our interview was that about one in four relationships, you know, has a violent component mm-hmm. to it in the teenage community, which was surprising to me. Explain what's going on.
Well, it's a very prevalent thing to have some kind of abuse, although it's oftentimes not physical abuse or not only physical abuse. There's a lot of emotional and verbal abuse that goes on, especially in teens.
Those count.
And those, they aren't always viewed as, oh, he's abusing her because he's not treating her with the full respect that she deserves as a person. He's just being kind of mean. But it is so impactful to people's mental state and to how they view themselves, and it can be damaging for years and oftentimes crippling to people. So.
Yeah, and it can affect the decisions that they make and how the decisions that they make about protecting themselves and about their sexuality and about staying safe from STDs and about preventing pregnancy if they're not ready for it. So it can affect all of those decisions if someone doesn't, if someone is in a relationship where they're consistently being put down or controlled. Unhealthy relationships and violence in relationships in multiple forms can happen for any gender, to any gender.
Sure.
So any, it does happen that the majority of violence basically is perpetrated by men against women, but not all men, not the majority of men are perpetrators of violence.
Sure.
But then it also is prevalent and sometimes ignored in other communities as well and coming from different directions. So do
these violent episodes, do they kind of fall along the same lines as domestic violence that we know about, that we've talked about on this program before, where it's all about control and power?
Definitely.
Yes?
Yeah. No, it's definitely along the same thing. I mean, it's obviously different ages, but it's something that we learn culturally, and it's something that we learn from the media and from our parents and from our elders. And it, a lot of the time, it's not seen as abuse, and it's kind of, there's a very gray area on what is abuse and what isn't abuse, because we haven't been taught as teenagers that things like not being treated like Logan said, not being treated completely like we're people and not being given all of someone's respect. We've kind of been taught that that's just something that happens instead of something that is abusive and something that shouldn't happen.
Well, it's, the 1 in 4 was quite a statistic.
I know. I wish it wasn't the case.
Yeah, that is
that
just,
one was from Humboldt Domestic Violence Services.
Wow.
Their training. And we talk about that in classrooms. And I think it would be useful to talk about, like, when in teenage relationships that you two have seen, what are some forms that it takes when we're talking about physical, emotional, or sexual abuse? Can we give specific examples of what that might look like in a teen relationship?
Yeah, okay. So last year I had a friend who was in an abusive relationship, and I remember the first thing that I had said to her was basically like, I don't like this guy. He gives me really bad vibes. And this was before in Spare Change we had our healthy relationships training. And I just didn't have the words to tell her exactly what it was about him that bothered me. And after our training, I went back to her and I pulled her aside and I was like, listen, like, I know that this can be something that you could take really negatively, but I want you to just listen to me with an open heart. I think that you're in a really abusive relationship. And I named off a bunch of things that were going on in her relationship. Like, there was some sexual abuse going on and physical. And I told her that the way that he was putting her down wasn't something that was necessarily normal, and that wasn't something that she should have to deal with. And because she was such a close friend of mine, she took it really well, and she was like, I really do appreciate your concern. And she did end up breaking up with him, like, soon after that, and she came back to me, and she's like, I'm really glad that you told me that. I'm really glad you came to me, and now I need your support further. And so I just kind of became that person for her during and after the relationship.
Now, that's really a terrific thing that you did. And it's really a wonderful thing that Spare Change does, because without a frame of reference as to what is a healthy relationship, in the teen years, you're just kind of starting out in this, trying things out, seeing what it's like in a relationship. And, without a frame of reference and a lifetime of experience of what is a healthy relationship and what is not, getting this kind of information can kind of open the eyes a little bit. And it's like, oh, you're naming all this checklist of problems, and I've got like 5 out of 6 of these things that you're talking about. Maybe there's a problem in this relationship.
Especially if you have the modeling in your life of not growing up in a family where it was the best modeling of a healthy relationship, which I would say is a lot of people. Then you may not. Then it may be hard to say, well, why would I deserve something different? Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be. It's nice to hear, and I remember it feeling really good to hear, you do deserve more than this, and this doesn't have to be the case, and you get to choose who you are in relationships with. Yeah. The other thing that we talk about, just to quickly introduce, is like more and more are talking about is how unhealthy relationships can be carried on through technology and through through texting and through social media like Facebook and Tumblr and how, you know, different controlling behaviors can take the form online. So, like, can you help me give examples? Like, with stalking, for example. But also
giving partners or being forced to or being asked to give a partner your passwords to a lot of your accounts or just, like, your information to things that they shouldn't necessarily have the information to. I know several people who have their partner's Facebook account passwords and they go in there a lot to look at their messages and check up on them, and that's a very controlling thing to do.
There's a lot of stuff. Well, the most obvious thing would be, you know, sending them messages on there that are degrading or anything like that, but a lot of it is taking their phone, reading their messages, getting on their accounts and looking at who they're talking to, looking at what they're saying, and all of these behaviors can start out, although not anything good, they're not like terrible, but it's really fast to manifest into something very controlling and very abusive. Well, and it's just a warning sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, control and abuse starts young.
Yeah. And then we have a skit this year that talks about sexting as well, and how even if done entirely with good intentions in a good relationship, how once it's out online, it's out there forever.
Right.
And once it's texted, once a picture, a naked picture, a suggestive picture is texted to someone, especially if they're under the age of 18, then it can be considered child pornography for whoever has it on their phone. And then later on, if that couple breaks up, then it could be used as blackmail, it could be used as revenge. So all of the kind of the possible negative consequences of that behavior of sexting, and then just to help people try to think it through before they make that real fast decision to do that.
Whatever people put out on public forums, no matter what the age, you really need to think before you put that out there, because it lasts forever. And especially with teens, that's, you know, that's definitely valid to bring up. We're unfortunately out of time, but I'd like to give you all just a few moments to wrap up. If you got anything that you'd like to say to wrap up.
I would just like to say thank you so much to this community for supporting this program for almost 20 years now. It's wonderful. And I want to say, if anyone has any specific questions, they're welcome to call my office number, which is 707-502-3007, as well as basically calling Planned Parenthood to make an appointment if necessary. Anything else you guys want to say?
Just to anyone that has something that they would like to talk about, and if this interview has raised any feelings, there's most likely a spare change member in your school, so if you can seek them out, they will definitely point you in the right direction.
Yeah. Thank you, like, a lot. And also, he's said my name a couple times, so if you find me on Facebook, then I'd be more than willing to talk to anyone who wants to talk.
Fantastic. All righty. Kate, Logan, Amethyst, thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.